Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. I will read you a number of sections here, beginning in chapter 1, verse 15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. A little later, chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord is restoring the majesty of Jacob as the majesty of Israel. And then back earlier, verses 12 and 13, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And now I will break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds apart. And a little bit before that, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. This is the text. And so the book of Nahum is preached to the people of Nineveh. You know the people of Nineveh, the ones that Jonah was sent to? Jonah, who got swallowed by the fish and then vomited up, who then goes into Nineveh probably looking odd and smelling even odder, who then, because of all of that, when he preaches God's judgment, to Jonah's surprise and dismay and anger against God, the people of Nineveh believe him and repent, and the judgment is pulled back. And Jonah chapter 4 is this wild chapter of an argument between God and Jonah. Well, that Nineveh. About 150 or so years later, the people of Nineveh had forgotten all that they learned, and generations pass, and the city is ripe for judgment, and this time it's not passing, and Nahum has the prophecy. So, Nahum preaching about Nineveh. There is at the beginning of the sermon a saved from part. And this is the law part, and Nahum is very good in the law part, very picturesque. There has to be a saved from part. But I brought along an illustration. Interesting exercise. This is my sin tablet. Everybody has tablets, don't they? Computer tablets. This is my sin tablet. And how you use the sin tablet is you go around and you look at other people and you write out their sins on your sin tablet. Okay? And so we... that too. And then we write out the sins, write them all out. Right? We write out the sins, and when you got enough sins written on your sin tablet, then you go and you look in your sin tablet. What do you see? Yourself. Because for those who will listen to the sermon online, this is a, what is this? It's a mirror. Okay? This is in our language as Lutherans, because we say the second use of the law is God's law serves as a mirror, and reflecting in the holy law of God, it reflects back on us, and we see where we have gone wrong and where we have sinned. Well, guess what? We are mirrors to each other as well. And when you want to look at somebody else's sin, do it this way. Because what you see when you see a sin in somebody else is you're seeing your own. You own that sin too. Because we have this sinful nature. And the people of Nineveh, they were very good sin mirrors. But if you're going to do a sin mirror, you can also do a judgment mirror. You look at the people of Nineveh and you write out the judgments that are hanging over them. And then you use your judgment tablet, it is now, and you see in your judgment tablet, what do you see? Yourself. Good exercise, right? This is what the prophets do with the people of Israel. They preach sin and judgment on those around, and then they sneak it in kind of sideways and say, and for you also. Let me say it a different way. One of the greatest preachings of the law that other people love to hear, that many in the congregations love to hear, is when the preacher preaches and just nails that other guy. Isn't that true? Yeah. But this is our own sin, and this is the judgment hanging over us. What are we to do? Title for the sermon: Judgment Day is Coming. Woohoo! Because you know, Judgment Day is when God punishes and judges and sweeps away all of the sinners, and we don't have to worry about Judgment Day because none of us here in this building is a sinner, right? Yeah, right. It's hanging over us. That's part of the lesson. The whole world, and we're a mess of sin. All of us together, and that may explain why so many things in the world are falling apart. And included in that, so many things in the world happens to be our bodies that are slowly falling apart. I heard an illustration many, many years ago. It goes like this. You have a bunch of eggs sitting on the counter, and all of them begin at one time to roll off the counter. That's what the world is like. There's going to be a mess. What do you do? That's the illustration. That illustration is of what the Christian does in a world where everything is heading for destruction and everyone is heading for destruction. What do you do? But let's get to the gospel part. Nahum 1 verse 15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. So there's a saved from part, and that's the part that's the law, and it's highly unpleasant. And there is a saved by, and this is the gospel part, and it is held out to anyone who hears and believes, and that includes the Ninevites. If there's anybody in Nineveh who heard this prophecy of Nahum and believed God, God rescues them, right? But as he says it, behold, upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news. That's a theme that runs from Isaiah to the Apostle Paul. Paul actually picks up on the Isaiah version where he calls it, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet. Runs like this from Romans. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I heard an illustration many years ago, and the illustration went like this. You have a number of eggs sitting on the counter, and they begin to roll off the counter all at once. What do you do? And the answer that they gave was you only have two hands, but you're going to try and grab as many as you can on the way to their destruction. That's one perspective. Back to Nahum 1:15. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet, right? Should we test this out here? Or just pretend like I took my shoes and socks off. Let's pretend. There's a curved toe, knobby bits. Why doesn't it say, how beautiful is the voice? Why doesn't it say, how beautiful is the message? Why, how beautiful are the feet? Let me make it worse. You know what they wore back in Bible times? Sandals. You know how hot and dusty those roads were? You know how nasty those feet could get? Ew. And then you go someplace for dinner and your host is supposed to provide a servant to wash the feet because it's so nasty your host wouldn't want to do that, right? So, we have a dinner and the disciples are there, and Jesus is the host of the feast, and it's the Last Supper, and the disciples are looking at one another. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Who did it? Jesus. Let me add something in here on that occurrence. As Jesus is washing their feet, aside from the smell, and everything. As Jesus is washing their feet, he's commissioning them. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring the good news. And here he's washing their feet, and it's the Last Supper, and he's telling them the gospel and giving them the Lord's Supper and commissioning them and sending them to bring the gospel. Isn't that quite remarkable? But I heard an illustration many years ago, and it goes like this. You have a number of eggs on your counter, and they all begin to roll off at the same time. What do you do? And now I've got a different answer. This is the answer that might come from the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. What would he do? Well, become one of them. Falling to destruction. Become one of them. And in taking the destruction on himself, but I've got an illustration about that. It was some years ago. It was during a period where I was asking for Christmas presents and was never getting what I asked for. And so one year I asked for an anvil. Why not? And I got an anvil. One of my brothers made me an anvil. Do you know how I know it's an anvil? Says on the bottom, Acme Anvils. Yeah, foam rubber. And they laughed and they laughed. And then there was a day when it proved very useful. Because her middle son came home from school and there was a science assignment. The next day they were going to do the egg drop, where you drop an egg out of a second-story window. And can you do it and have the egg survive? And some of his friends were busy designing parachutes and things like that. And I don't know whether any of the parachutes worked well enough. But we said, we've got this anvil. And we cut out a little hole in it. and a chamber for the egg. And then we used, I think it was toothpicks to seal the foam back in place over it. They say the sight of an anvil dropping out of a second-story window was fantastic, and especially when this thing that looks like a real anvil hits the ground and starts bouncing all over the place. But that was before cell phones, and so we didn't get a video of it. Aww. But the egg held within the anvil was kept safe. And so for us, held within the Savior, He takes our sin and takes it to the place of destruction. And in Himself takes the shattering that we had earned. But by His shattering, we are made whole again. And then in other language that was in the other lessons from today, to the place of darkness, He goes. He carries us through the place of darkness and into light. He carries us through the curse and into the blessing. He holds us within Himself and brings us through into eternal life. And that's why, one more time to Nahum 1 verse 15, that's why it says, "Behold, upon the mountains the feet of Him." Notice it's singular, one. The feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace. It is Jesus who comes bringing us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.